Good morning. Just as a disclaimer off, I am not the regular preacher here. Our regular preacher, Brian, is off at polishing the pulpit along with some other members of our congregation. So he asked me to fill in for him, and I will gladly do that. But recognizing the importance of this position stuff, doing something like this, it holds a great deal of responsibility and accountability to take on sharing God's word out. So I pray that God will use the things I say. They're true to his word, and that it will be beneficial to you in your walk with God. I will be using the New International Version primarily today. I have the English Standard, like Brian typically uses, on my phone, but sticking through my phone every time for verses would slow us down quite a bit. You know, Brian typically go 40 minutes or so. I'm only going to make it within about 60 or 70, so we'll be all right. All right, so we'll see. But I appreciate it. We'll think through what God has to say to us. Thank you for reading the verse. There are several verses in Psalms we could go through that we'd go through looking, but something to think about. We go, sin leads to death, repentance leads to life. God will save his people. Right? Ponder, sin leads to death, repentance leads to life. God will save his people. Ever been to the ocean? Sit back. There's a song we sing sometimes about being at the shore and seeing how the tides come rolling in and all that, and the thunderous noise of those waves sometimes going out. Okay? Can leave you with an impression. Right? You think about the ocean. You think about what's all out there. Okay? Tied to that, I've had the privilege to ride a U.S. submarine and come up in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and go out to Conning Tower, and there's nothing out there but the Atlantic Ocean and me sitting on top of the submarine. Interesting things you may think about when you do that. Okay? You ever been out to the mountains here in Carolina, west out there? I've had the privilege to go walk some of the Appalachian Trail and doing that. One part of that, that my youngest son and I, at one point, we walked differently than the rest of the scout troop at one time. And we walked the side of a mountain, come around, and there is nothing on the other side other than that 3-foot path we're on, other than a huge drop off. But it's beautiful. Those kind of things, when you hit things in those your life like that, to spend their time thinking about how beautiful the scenery is, okay, or the ocean and this stuff, how much of it draws your mind to think about the God behind what you just saw? Lead you to awe, at least to me. It leaves me standing in awe of God as I stand at the ocean and hear the power of those waves. When I saw nothing but water around me, and you think, and yet I can go back in that submarine and go to sonar and listen, the world under that ocean is not quiet. It's a lot of noise. And the noises that God gave the fish, the mountain grandeur that God created that we can go see. To leave you wondering sometimes, you get in a position like that, of who am I to be in such a position? God, we can sit there and look at the mountain, we can sit there and look at the ocean, just wonder. But do we put the eyes in, the mind in, to think about the God who created that mountain and gave me the view? Or the God who created that vast ocean and all the life that exists in that ocean that we can't see, okay? Unless you happen to be blessed to be a diver, I guess, and go down out there and see it, okay? Our God is holy. Our God is awesome. Does that ever hit your daily life when you wake up every morning and come out to recognize who you are in the presence of a holy God and stand before him? The most often spoken character of God, his character trait in Old Testament and New Testament, is his holiness. The Hebrew word used for that means separate. Actually, it has the root back to the meaning of cut off. It's been separated off of something else, and it stands all alone. It's completely different. Okay? It's not normal. It's transcendent. God is holy. The concept sometimes seems foreign to our world. We don't really put a lot of thought into it sometimes. You may hear that people come out with just words popping out, holy moly, you know, or holy cow. Now, if you were in India, that might have a different statement than it is us here, you know, stuff like that. That might be somebody's relative and the way they believe some things over there in India and all that. But we're flippant sometimes the way we use that word holy. It doesn't draw us into wonders about God and what it means. Okay? You see holy times and holy things. You never see the word holy in Genesis. You see situations all along. When God calls Abram, leave the land you're in. I want you over here in Canaan, but he doesn't tell him how to get there, where it's going. Okay? God puts Joseph in Egypt, a boy mistreated by his brothers and all that stuff down there, and you have to come back and see the purposes. Moses shows up in Exodus 3 while keeping sheep in a bush, and the bush is burning, and he's sort of captivated by that vision. But then God says, take shoes off. You're on holy ground. This isn't some place you just overlook. This isn't a place you take for granted. You're on holy ground. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. There's all kinds of verses we could go to. And the word the holy, the word holy, the topic of holiness is spread all through Scripture. You even go back, and I'm going to go back here and take a back step on you. I'll come back to Isaiah 6. But we were studying this morning about the sabbatical year, different things of the Jewish nation and the things they have there. But there's a thing called the holiness code for the Jewish priests and all. The Lord said to Moses in this reading from Leviticus 21, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, a priest must not take to himself, make himself ceremonially unclean for any of his people who die except for a close relative, such as his father or mother, his son or daughter, his brother, or an unmarried sister who's dependent on him, since she has no husband for her. For he may make himself unclean. He must not make himself unclean for the people related to him by marriage or defile himself. Priests must not shave their heads or shave off the edges of their beard or cut their bodies. They must be holy to their God and must not profane the name of their God, because they present the offerings of the made to the Lord by fire, the food of their God. They are to be holy. See that? Very strict regulations for people who would approach God and provide the gifts of God's people to God. They can't make themselves unclean. They had to be pure. He says there, because they are holy. The things they're handling are set apart. They're separated. They're special to God. You don't treat them just like you would everything else. You've got to treat them as holy, separate, set aside for special purpose. Isaiah was called by God, and we see in Isaiah chapter 6, God says, in the year that King Uzziah died, make a side light to that. Go back and read 2 Corinthians 26. Uzziah was generally a pretty good king. Okay? He did good things for Israel. But it says, as he got stronger, he stopped following God with all his heart. And in 2 Chronicles 26, it says, in the last years of his reign, King Uzziah went into the temple and offered things in God's temple as if he were a priest. He was not. He was a king of Israel, but he took it upon himself to go into the temple. The priest came in and confronted him about that and said, this is not your place, Uzziah. Not for you to present things to God. And Uzziah responded with anger back to the priests. And all of a sudden his hand became leprous. And the priest hurried him out of the temple. A guy who had been blessed by God as God's king of Israel for several years. He reigned for a long time, 52 years if I remember right. Long, long time. And yet he lost sight of who he was. He lost sight of how he'd been blessed. And he went into a place where God just said, we read out of Leviticus 19, you must not be unclean. You must be holy. That's the Uzziah here that Isaiah had a chance to minister to as a prophet of God. But a guy who lost sight of where he was, made things unclean, and thought he was okay. And that was not so. He got leprosy and died with leprosy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What would you think? How would you feel if you're in the temple and you see the Lord God Almighty? Ponder that. Have you ever pondered that, son? We take that for granted sometimes, too. We talk about going to heaven and seeing God. I don't think that's a trivial thing. That's amazing. And Isaiah says he saw God. And the robe of God filled the temple. It was nothing. God just filled it up. Right? Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's the only trait of God that's ever mentioned in a threesome in Scripture. Right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Why would he be worried about his lips? He's a prophet, right? He's supposed to speak God's word to God's people. He takes a message out. It's pretty easy sometimes to begin to speak your own message instead of speaking God's message. Making sure that what you're saying is indeed the words of God that God wants his people to hear instead of my rendition of what God may want his people to hear. You had to be very careful. Apparently Isaiah wrestled with that some because he recognizes he's a man of unclean lips. Okay? Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Ouch. You ever touched a hot coal? Hope not. That would burn you in an instant, you know? But think of that going to your lips. Lips are pretty sensitive, right? A lot of nerve endings in there, okay? Your lips serve a purpose, right? God wouldn't have put them there, you know? It symbolizes the mouth and the need for cleanness in what you're saying, especially with him as a prophet. So God tips his lips with that hot coal. And only then does God come back with the words to say, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And then God says, go tell the people. God had to clean his mouth up. God had to clean the words to make sure that what Isaiah was saying, God, the intent of Isaiah's words was the intent of God. Okay? Because it's not the right of the prophet to make up his own words. He's got to take God's intent with God's words and share that with the people. Isaiah got blessed with God's presence to help him really grab the importance of how holy God is and how important it is that you just don't walk into his presence. You just don't go on with your own women fancy. You have to recognize you are in the presence of the Holy One, the only God. He's so separate, so far above, so far different. He's holy. Do we treat him with that kind of respect, with that kind of reverence? He's holy, holy, holy. We get comfortable, I think, by their imperfection. Okay? We don't hold ourselves to God's standard of holiness sometimes. We want to find out. You notice God's Word, if you read through His Word, God hasn't given us one. He says, you get a free sin. Huh? You can do whatever you want with it. You get one free sin, I won't hold you accountable for that. I don't see that anywhere. Okay? You got one opportunity to profane my name and not respect me as the Lord God Almighty. I'll give you one. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Okay? God just says, I'm holy. The concept in the New Testament is basically the same, but it moves more to the personal being and the personal stance of how we stand and how we sit before God. Isaiah meets God and gets undone, okay, and how we go. But I wonder, there's actually an old book. It's called The Idea of the Holy, written by a man by the name of Otto. He comes up with a thing called the mysterious tremendum, is what he calls it, the awful mystery of being the presence of God. He goes through presenting some things about how people respond to that. Interestingly enough, he says, it fascinates people. Sometimes it terrifies. But the general response is that people are ambivalent. Can we be that disrespectful, if you will, to God, that we think about His presence and His holiness, that we're just, oh well, oh never mind, okay. I think not that that brings God's pleasure. God's pleasure is that you really are like Isaiah, I'm undone. Who am I to stand in the presence of a holy God? I don't have anything. I don't have any reason. Nothing I can say to my favor when I'm a sinner and I'm in the presence of the holy God. God comes out in the New Testament and brings us 2 Corinthians, I think I've got it marked, 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Should probably go back and I'll read a couple verses out of chapter 6 first, since it starts off with a therefore in chapter 7. But do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are temples of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk with them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Stop there a moment. What does the word holy mean? You're separate. You're different. Okay? You can tie it into the word sanctified. You're set aside for a special purpose. But you're separate. Come out. That's what God is telling us here. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Holiness isn't just for the Old Testament. It's right there in God's words. He calls us to perfect holiness out of reverence for God, respect for who God is, and how God calls us to work with Him. 1 Peter, all the way back in 1 Peter, well, I'll stop off here in Hebrews 12 and we'll do a couple of verses in Hebrews 12 before we go to 1 Peter just to make your working through the Scripture a little easier that way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, God says, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Sometimes when things are tough, God's working on us, trying to fix us up. He's trying to help us understand holiness. He's helping us understand that we're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be oddballs in this world, if you will. Okay? We're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed to stand out because we're different. Are we comfortable with that, or do we shed back from that? Oh, man, that's not comfortable. I don't like being... that's really not very... We shy away from that, I think. But that's exactly what we're called for. We're called to be odd, if you will. God's odd squad, if you will. That's what we're called to be. To stand out and be different than the world around us. Okay? And that chapter there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come on. We're God's temple. Huh? Isn't that where Isaiah was when he saw God? And we read about the Levitical priests. You got to be holy. You don't bring anything unclean into God's temple. It's holy. It's God's place of presence in here. You treat it with respect and honor. And then we are that temple of the New Testament. And we're supposed to be perfecting holiness in the reverence. That's respect for, honor for God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Listen to this last part. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. How's that hit you? Do you look forward to seeing God? You look forward to going home to heaven after we finish our life here on earth? I do. But I got to take it with a lot of attention. God says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So if I want to see God, I've got to be a holy person. I've got to allow God to set me aside, pull me apart, and be separate from the world. And I've got to be happy with it. I've got to live there because that's what I'm called to be. Iglesia, the church that we as believers are, that means what? We are the called out ones. We are called out of the world. God has no intention of us being like the world. He has no intention that we imitate the world over above imitating Him. His intention is that we imitate Him and Him only. And by that, we make a difference in the world in which we live because we are set apart, called out. We are different than the world around us. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter brings this to bear on the people to whom he's speaking. He speaks to the people he writes to. There, starting in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you were lived in ignorance. When did you have those evil desires? It's when you were part of the world. Do not conform to that. That can take us over to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, where we're told to be different, be transformed by renewal of your mind, that you may prove what God's will is, His perfect will. Because you're supposed to be transformed. You're not supposed to be the same person in the world. Okay? Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Where is it written? Go back to Leviticus, to the holy code of the priests. That's where that comes from. Be holy because I am holy. That's our purpose right there. Okay? That's the statement. Why do we seek holiness? Why do we set to be set aside and be different? be called out for God, you do it because He is. And He's our Father. He's our leader. He's the one that dictates what we do. Okay? I'm not here for my own intent. Okay? I'm impressed going back over Jesus' life right now and going through another study with some folks out of John. And over and over and over again in John, Jesus says, I'm not here to do my own will. I'm here to do the Father's will. He sent me here under His plan for His purpose. And that's what I'm here for. And as believers in Christ, that's true of us. I'm not here for my own intent. I'm here for what the Father has put me here to do. That's why I'm here. So He calls you, be holy because I am holy. Goes on to say, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. You ever heard that before? We're aliens here. Peter uses that term another place. We're aliens. We're strangers. This isn't home. We're supposed to do that in reverent fear of God. Okay? For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for the brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Gives us some very clear directions about who we're supposed to be, doesn't it? Huh? We're supposed to be called out, be different. We're supposed to be set aside to do things completely different than what the world sees it. Again, God, the standard is Jesus. It's not the guy down the street. It's not my neighbor next door. The standard is Jesus. His holiness. His purity. How He's called out. Okay? He talked about it earlier today some about how the church, the first century church, made such a difference in their world by standing out as different. By their sexual conduct. By the way they treated babies. They took care of babies instead of just throwing them out as garbage. Okay? By the way that they set themselves aside by treating each other with respect, okay, and honor. The way they took care of each other, you read Acts chapter 2, 3, 4 there and all that, it talks about some of them. There weren't any poor in there because the people shared all their stuff together. Even those who had more financial means and all that, at times they sold that stuff and gave it to the people in the church so that there weren't any poor people in the church. They took it as active stuff to say, we need to take care of, we need to show the people around us that we're different in the way we take care of each other. And Jesus even stated in His last words to His apostles and stuff like that, say, love each other. People will know you're My disciples by the love you have for one another. When the world sees us acting like that to each other, man, that awakens in them a question. Say, why do you live like that? And we do that because we're holy people. We're different. I'm not like the world. I'm not like you who live by the world standard. I don't follow Satan's directions. I don't follow Satan's will. I follow the intent and desire of my God. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's the God before whom everybody will one day have to give an account. What are you going to say to the holy God when He opens up the door of your life and sees unholiness instead of holiness? Because He said, as we read in Peter, be holy because I am holy. My intent for you, my expectation for you, is to be set aside, be different from the world, because I've got a purpose to shine through you. I want the world to see me in all my perfection, in all my purity, in all my goodness for you. I want the world to see me in you because I am the holy God. May we live in reverence and honor of God in that way. Is my life holy? Is my life really displaying by the things I accept, by the morals I have, by the way I speak and deal with other people, in all facets of my life, does the holiness of God exude from my life? And people see to say, man, that person has a different focus for living than what I have. That person's really committed. He's really given over to being renewed by the power of God to be different and odd. We're not a weirdo. You're just holy. You're different. Don't let the world shape you into its mold. You're not here to be like the world. You're here to resemble God. You're here to show your neighbors and your friends and everybody around you, this is what living as a holy person of God looks like. It's not your power. You don't have to do it on your own. It's God living in you. What we have to do is submit and say, God, I'm willing for you to show yourself in me. Help me to get out of the way. Help me just to be the human form you live in. And he tells us that, right? You live in me. And when you're born again in Jesus, you take on in baptism, what changed about you? It's not you, it's Christ. Christ in you. You become clothed in Christ. You're different. Does my holiness, my life look like the holiness of Jesus? I hope it does. I hope it's working that direction. That's what we're called to. Everybody we touch out there in the world who's not a Christian needs to see God's holiness in us. They need to understand the difference between the way we live and the way they live. May God bless the world by us being His holy people. Special. You're called out. Now it's up to us to die before God, be undone before God as Isaiah was, and let God fill us to His glory as He lives in us. Living holy starts with recognizing and accepting God. We started out, sin will bring death. If you don't deal with the sin in your life, you're going to die, and you'll die apart from God with no hope. But repentance brings life. When we're willing to repent and change, God says, I can work with that. I can change that life. I can make it new. And what you get is a holy life. Lived for, driven by the intent of God to be His people. And you can stand assured, there's no doubt about it, God will save His people. No matter how tough life gets, no matter how rough the world may treat us because we're different than they are, that's okay. I still love you. I still respect you because God told me to do that and God does that. But I'm going to be different. I'm not going to take on your way because God will save those who are faithful, His people. No matter what takes, God will save us. That's my end hope. I can live with all the deficiencies of this life, with all the hardships that life may bring, because I know my God loves me, His love will never fail, and He'll save me in the end. If you don't have that hope, we encourage you to take that on this morning. The best decision you can ever make in your life, I guess actually the only decision all of us have to really make all our life is what will you do with Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God, sent from God from heaven to this earth to live and become our Savior. Okay? Every one of us has to deal with the question. It's hard when we do it. What will you do with Him? Will you break before Him and humble yourself to say, I recognize that I sinned, I've displeased you, and my life's not going the right way. So I give up myself. I give up my own will. I'm here to bow before you. I confess you as my Savior. I beg of you to have mercy on me and remake me into your image, that you could show your holiness through me. That new life starts by dying in baptism, where the man of sin, the man of the world, goes away and you arise up out of there clothed in Jesus, clothed with His holiness to go forward as a man or woman of God, to show the holiness of God with reverence and fear. Don't take it lightly. It's not you. Again, it's the power of God who makes you new in Jesus. If you want to do that this morning, to acknowledge that Jesus is Savior and Lord and begin that new life with Him, then we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing, God will save His people.